you want to promote what is all about your product and service. What's the details of it? You know, what's going on with it? But then also, why does it benefit your customer? Because that's where their pain points start to come in. And I think the more you can hit on those reasons that really connect with customers, that's when you get the click and that's when you get the sale.
Sip, create, repeat. A podcast providing marketing strategies you can consume over a cup of coffee.
Welcome back to another episode of Sip, Create, Repeat. Today, we are going to be talking about how to read and understand email analytics, which can probably be scary because there's lots of different numbers and short handles and all kinds of different things that you need to understand. But we'll break a lot of that down today with myself, Alicia, and Julia. And, you know, to kick everything off, let's just talk about what's been happening in the marketing world. So, Julia, what's going on?
Yeah, so we have a lot of news with social media this week. To start us off, TikTok has been named the most downloaded non-gaming app, and it has been since February. And then it's also been the most downloaded app in the world for 6 months in a row. So if you're not on TikTok, I definitely recommend you get on there. You know, there's a ton of people on there downloading the app, using the app. So you should be focusing some of your efforts on TikTok for sure. And then moving on to Twitter, Twitter published an updated version of their agency playbook, which they first released in 2019. And what this agency playbook is it's an overview of how to create an effective Twitter ad campaign. So it also shares usage insights, revised ad specs, case studies, example ad campaigns, and practice templates. So if Twitter ads are something that you're thinking about getting into, definitely check out this playbook. It's got a ton of helpful information. And yeah, Alicia, you want to talk to us about Instagram?
I would love to, Julia. So we're always all wondering how the algorithms are working. And it's always fascinating when Instagram especially gives us the peek in. And so it's important to note that they published a video explaining how Reels work, how the algorithm on Reels work. And by the way, notice how it's a video and not like a static image, right? So keep that in mind. Instagram is pushing forward with that video sharing app platform, if you will. So don't be afraid to continue diversifying that content, guys. So back to that algorithm, right? They're encouraging engagement. Instagram decides which reels show based on actions such as liking a reel, commenting on a reel, remixing with the reel, right? So the more you interact with that content, the more Instagram is going to be like, oh, we should push this more to that user and similar users. They also want you to get people interacting with your profile specifically, right to that profile page. Instagram takes into consideration the user's history of interacting directly with that account that posted. And that includes making those extra click-throughs across the platform. Also think about popular equals more exposure. Listen, it feels like high school all over again, right? But it's the case. So when deciding whether or not to show your reels to other users, Instagram is taking into account overall popularity. So listen, you know, to be the cheerleaders and football players in the room ain't a bad thing in this case for Instagram. So think about popularity in that sense. And then keep track of trends. Instagram has an algorithm that shows users more dog-related reels if they interact with reels about dogs, for example. I think they like hacked into my DMs between my brother and I because it's literally just all dog reels. I will confess that I am 100% this person. So if there's any trend, whether it's dancing, animal reels, recipes, they are going to say that you should be continuing to promote that type of content because it's going to increase the likelihood that your reels will be shown, right? So there is something to be said about knowing your lane and sticking in it when it comes to the algorithm. So keep that in mind if you are, you know, more of an individual or a solo creator that you may have more than one passion and you don't know, like, hey, do I focus on this or that? It may be worth locking down on one to really sort of start building your following and building your engagement. On other Instagram news, they just announced there will be testing a new ad format within the shop tab. Very interesting. Ads will appear as single image or carousel and will only be shown on mobile devices. So if you're like me and love to be on your desktop and scrolling through Instagram, I am the weirdest social media user. I will have always said that I will be natively on a website as much as I possibly can. But in this case, you ain't getting those shop ads on your desktop. The most popular shopping categories, by the way, travel, beauty, pet, shocking, and home decor will get access first. So if you are in one of those four segments, keep an eye out. This is big, big, big stuff for you. Speaking of ads, ad costs overall are rising on major platforms. Sorry, kids. This is just the nature of where we're at these days. At Amazon, we're looking at about 20% up in CPM costs between the first and second quarters of 2021. This is according to performance ad agency WPromote. Average CPMs rose from $3.60 in February to $8.60 in May and June. So that morning latte out the door if you want those cost clicks, right? And then Facebook up 89%, Google up 108%, Snapchat 64% increase, TikTok 92% increase, YouTube 108% increase. Goodness gracious. Wow. If you're in digital advertising, keep an eye on those costs. You got to make smart decisions for your dollar, know how to spend it in the right spots. Why, what, when, where, who, all of those things. And maybe really consider upping that budget as we move into the rest of Q3 and everyone's favorite Q4. It's a coming, kids.
Well, I think, you know, talking rising ad costs is a perfect way to segment into, you know, maybe tapping into that that audience that you already have, which is your email list, and knowing how you're doing it effectively. So, you know, we want to get back into talking email analytics and understanding, you know, how to gauge a campaign, if it's working, what parts of it were successful, and then applying it to campaigns moving forward. So, Julia, why don't you talk just about one of the first things that we look at when we're looking at sort of the data behind email campaigns?
Absolutely. And you know, I love talking about data. So cut me off if I start rambling. But the first thing, and probably the most important metric that you want to keep an eye on, is your open rate. And it's a pretty self-explanatory measurement. It's the percentage of people that are opening the email to read its like body contents. And like I said, this is probably the most important factor to keep an eye on, because if you're running an email campaign and people aren't opening your emails, something's got to change. And the two most important things when you're looking at your email rate is your subject line and your preview text. Those are what shows up in your inbox first. That's what you see flash across your screen when you have those notifications on. So if you're not having successful open rates and you want kind of an average of like 10 to 25% open rate, if you're not having successful open rates, you want to first look at those subject lines and preview text. So Alicia, if you want to talk about maybe what makes a good subject line preview text draw the attention of the crowd.
Definitely. I think, you know, as Handshake's resident copywriter, if you will, this is a lot of what I do, is writing a lot of call to action. So you want to grab the attention of your email subscriber, right? Let's think about our own individual email boxes, all the things we sign up for discount codes and things. Listen, I get a lot of emails every single day. I do take a proper scroll, and the ones that catch my attention always have some type of strong wording, strong call to action, CTA, around getting my attention, right? And why should I open this email? What's going to catch my attention? You know, so it could be something about a great promotion that you have going on, or something very limited time offer. So some of those more logistical sort of tricks we like to use, maybe not all caps, but maybe the first couple words in all caps to really say, like, it's that idea that, hey, they're yelling at us for a reason, right? To get your attention. Another thing, and this is our fun little hack we've been playing with a lot lately, is that we'd like to do the same emoji, but two of it at the beginning of the subject line and then two of it at the end. Again, you want people to get their stop the scroll. We need them to stop the scroll, and that includes in their emails. So what's a great way to do that? Strong visuals. We talk about this all day long with photography. Emojis are the way to do that with your text. So feel free to start playing around with emojis within your email platforms. Most are very savvy to them nowadays, so you should be able to add them. I even add them in Google Gmail, like communications, when I need people to approve stuff last minute. So don't be afraid to slide those emojis in. And then the other thing with preview text that we like to play with, and again, preview text is that sort of like, think of it as that secondary line, like, you know, the the catch-all, like what else is important for them to know if they only read the preview text and the subject line of your email. They don't even open it, right? So for example, we like to really hit home what brands are being promoted. So if you have well-known brands in your online shops or even in your retail stores, and you are, it's a great time to feature them in that area. Also promo codes, we'll slide in a save $50 when you use this August promo code, and we'll repeat it in the actual email copy as well. But anytime you can just continue to catch attention with those one-liners, those strong call to actions, that's when you really want to utilize them in those subject lines and preview texts.
Absolutely. And I think also open rate and that preview text and subject line are great things to play around with split testing. So, you know, sending one preview text with one subject line and then sending a similar but slightly changed. So maybe you add an emoji to the second one and seeing what works better and trying that a couple of times to see, you know, what your audience is clicking on. You know, if your audience is hating the emojis, don't use the emojis. That's where that split testing comes in. And then moving on, so after that preview text and subject line comes the actual content of what's in your email, and that's where you can start looking at your click rate. So your email's click rate is the percentage of email recipients who clicked on any of the links in your email. And there are two types of clicks, unique clicks and total clicks. So your unique clicks are how many different IP addresses clicked on your email link. So like different devices, whereas total clicks include multiple clicks from the same device. So if I click on something from my phone 10 times, that'll be counted in your total clicks, but not your unique clicks. So for me personally, I think unique clicks are a more like valuable piece of information that it's kind of a wider reach that you can get, whereas your total clicks just add everybody together. And so that comes in with like your copy in the email. Next, we can talk about your conversion rate. So getting customers to like convert on your offer is basically the goal of sending any email campaign. So whether that's like signing up for a survey or signing up for a giveaway, downloading something, that's where your conversion rate is. And so that is when you're able to analyze like that call to action that Alicia was kind of talking about. And calculating your conversion rate is like the number of people who filled out your form or downloaded whatever it is, and then dividing that by the number of emails delivered. So Alicia, you want to talk a little bit about like that copy of conversion rates and how we can boost that a little bit?
Definitely. Again, it's important to start really diving into that process of understand why your customer should buy your product or your service, right? So you want to start reaching out to them with not only just features, but also benefits, right? So you want to promote what is all about your product and service, what's the details of it, you know, what's going on with it, but then also why does it benefit your customer? Because that's where their pain points start to come in. And I think the more you can hit on those reasons that really connect with customers, that's when you get the click and that's when you get the sale. So I think why we spend so much time on copy within creative is for these reasons. We want to engage our customers. We want to grab their attention. We want them to do that thing we want them to do. So the words we choose are just as important as the beautiful images, just as important as what template we choose. So while email marketing especially does, like most things these days, continues to become a little bit more incredibly visual, there's nothing wrong with including some really strong language and being very smart and systematic about how you're selecting and what you're selecting it. That said, there are some incredible email campaigns that go out on the regular that look like short novels, right? Like that are just great storytellers doing their thing, sharing the behind the scenes. So know your strengths. If you're a great copywriter, if you know that you can tell a great story, maybe there's ways to do that within your email campaigns. And that's what converts into those clicks and eventually into those sales.
I think a big part, you know, about that too is to really identify what is the goal of that campaign you're putting out, right? If the goal is, I want to get someone in there as fast as possible into my website buying, probably a copy heavy email isn't going to convert the best, right? You want to quick visual, quick to whatever the ask is if you're trying to get them off that email and onto the site. Now, if the goal of that email is maybe you're not asking them to buy something from you right now, to your point, maybe it's more behind the scenes or some sort of other value add topic that you're doing, and that the conversion that you're actually looking for is you just want them to engage with that email to make sure your list is continually actually engaging with your content and not always just going to buy. So something there where it's maybe a more content driven email, you know, clearly maybe some more chunks of actual copy is might work great. I think that's a big thing to keep in mind is, you know, just understanding what you're actually asking that user to do and keep that in mind. I think for those first three metrics, a good way to think about them, right, is it's all sort of trickle down, right? You're looking for them to open first, then hopefully you click or do whatever you're asking for, and that's what's going to give you that conversion. So it all is going to trickle down from an actual number standpoint. I know we mentioned the 10 to 25% on the open rate. Click-through rate's going to be maybe about half of that. And then honestly, your conversion rate's probably even going to be another half of that. So it does trickle down because you're obviously asking that user to do more steps, or you're asking them to do more each level that you get to. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Absolutely. And along with that, like, trickle down, it's a piece of a puzzle. They all fit together, you know?
And real quick, I think Pat's point around the less clicks, the more likely you are to get that end action is very, very smart. So keep that in mind just across the board, right?
Absolutely. And then, so talking about those three metrics, you know, to figure all of those out, we are like dividing by the number of emails that are successfully delivered. And so that's where we can start moving into talking about your bounce rate. And your bounce rate can be either a soft bounce or a hard bounce. And a soft bounce is when there's a problem with like your recipient's inbox or like mail exchange server, where basically your email is getting held up somewhere in the server. Hard bounces are the thing that you absolutely don't want. And that's when you have like an invalid contact or an inactive email, or just the email is non-existent. And that's when there's no chance of your mail ever getting delivered. So that's when you really got to take a look at your list and make sure maybe that's when you send out like, hey, do we have the correct information? And you start gathering that new information from people just to make sure that your email lists are accurate and that you're not getting those hard bounces where your email is just getting completely lost in space and will never get to its intended place. And then following that, we have our like opt-out and unsubscribe rate. So you want your opt-out and unsubscribe rate to be about 0.2% to 0.5%. You want this to be pretty low. You want people to be liking your emails and want to continue to receive those emails. And obviously you want that unsubscribe rate to be much smaller than your growth rate, right? We want to see that upward trend rather than the downward trend of people liking your emails. And your several factors that might like be hindering you from expanding your list is moving, like people changing email addresses. Maybe they're just no longer interested in your product, and that's okay. You know, you want to keep growing and changing your list based on your company and based on how you're growing and changing. And obviously you want to keep people with you, but if you lose people in the process, that's okay. You want to gain more people, right? Your overall return on investments is basically the last thing that you are going to be looking at. And that's your like campaign sales minus like the cost of your campaign. And that's how much you're spending to run these email campaigns based on how much you're gaining from those campaigns. Pat, you want to talk a little bit about that? I know you've had some experience with that.
Yeah, I think, you know, really what that comes down to is you're calculating all your costs you have, right? Whether you're, you know, you have a subscription plan to whatever email service you're using, whether you have an agency that you're working with and you have those costs built in, you know, you're always looking to have that positive ROI when you're running campaigns. So it's a measured set of things that you just calculate it all in and say, hey, I'm looking for this much to make my return on investment worth it. So it's obviously what we always keep in mind. And I think it goes back to why even having that unsubscribe rate not be a bad thing, right? You want to be emailing the people that are actually engaged with your product. So if your list is growing or contracting, I mean, that's what it's always going to do. And we constantly scrub, you know, our clients' audience list to continue to maximize them, right? Like there's a segment of an audience that's probably considered your VIP. And when you're really looking for maybe high ROI on a campaign, you're going to target those customers that have bought from you multiple times or really engaged with you versus someone that maybe is a little more of a like a cold sell that you put them into a campaign that, you know, you have a lot more work to do to actually engage them as a customer. So these are all things to keep in mind when you're talking ROI and how to set up campaigns. But hopefully you at least have a decent understanding now of some of the major metrics when it comes to email analytics and data. And we hope you enjoyed the episode. So as always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform, like the video on YouTube, and follow us at Hey It's Handshake on all of our social media outlets. So thanks again, guys.